You want to share or discuss? Come. Oh, okay. Ah, mi fong. Ah, sada. Yeah. Ah, see. That day, the poem at Suji, there. This one, the meaning is very deep. After that, I will explain. Ooh. Oh. Wu also can. Yu chan also can. Wu chan also can. But should be you because the like a poem, three. Because after that is sing pu li tao. Yeah. So the first three is sing zong yu chan. Then after that also yu. Then pu li. Sing pu li tao, tao pu li fa, fa pu li zhe chang shen huo. So she, my wife went and checked. It's actually you in the internet. Jing Shiyi inside is you. A lot of things. Oh, you know Mandarin also. Oh, Sadhu. Oh, she have asked you to write. Your writing good or not? Mandarin. Not really good. I can write, yeah. Oh, Chinese school teacher. Wow. Wow, let that right at the side. write two. No, write two set. Never mind. Write two set. Belkin, hey, my cheat, you know, look at cheat for me. Let's say with two set, man. Never mind. Ayo, let's say with two set, man. Look cheat for me, la, look. My cheat, yeah. Ayo, you are. Never mind. You just silence your mind. That is the best. Because when you silence the mind, you can understand. Sometimes, rationally, your brain cannot understand. But the nature receive. Because this chanting, this vibration, has its wisdom, has its vow. So all this, the vibration, can actually help you when you have faith. Then when you have affinity, it will go in faster. Then when you're silent, you can receive all the pure Dhamma, the pure energy. It depends if they have that type of vow, then it can manifest. But you must know how to xiang ying, understand or not? Xiang ying means you must have the affinity to match it, understand or not? Because everything needs condition. It doesn't mean that everybody here enlightened. Like that, the Buddha no need to teach the Dhamma. But he cannot make you enlightened. You have to realize yourself. So sometimes, like the vow can help you. But it cannot help you become enlightened overnight. You must have the condition. Like if you have faith in him, then you diligently cultivate, then you create affinity, then you actually become very serious. Then you diligently cultivate, walk the path. And then you listen with attentiveness, with the faith. And then something can happen. Actually, it boils back to the five spiritual faculties. When your five spiritual faculties is there, there is clarity. When there is clarity, you can see things as they are and develop the understanding. Very easy. Can, but at the moment, not much point. Where it's too long and it's about bodhisattva way. Understand? You realize the basic Dhamma first, the sainthood way first. Then only we can talk about the Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. It's the Lotus Sutta that talk about the cultivation to be a Sammasambuddha. But it's a lot of wonderful Dhamma there. That's why it's called Miao Fa, Miao, and Miao. It's wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Sutta. That's why Dhamma can be approached in many ways, but the essence is the same. Everything that can help you train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance, you can apply. Whether you start from chanting or whatever, but ultimately it comes back to the five spiritual faculty. So you don't be gullible when people tell you, oh, this one from one of the Buddha. You chant, you can become enlightened. Oh, then with that craving, oh, you just want to listen. It's not like that one. It's your understanding that whatever skillful means that people introduce, there are causes and conditions behind. Some is because of the vow. Some is because of the way they train you to develop the spiritual faculty. So when you understand, you meditate with understanding, you cultivate with understanding, you can progress. Otherwise, you won't. Then you become gullible. Then you, like people say, no, they say, just chanting enough already, you can become enlightened. Pure land chanting only. It's not they chant only. Because they chant to develop the spiritual faculty. Then because they have faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that has the vow. And that vow is very powerful. When you have faith in them, then there will be a response. So all this has their condition behind. So whatever cultivation you do, whatever Dhammada or Farman you take, if you understand clearly how it leads you to enlightenment, then it's a lot easier. Otherwise, you become belief. You become gullible. Then you take that thing literally. Then you say, no, the monk told me, this one chant by one of the Sammasambuddha. You just listen, you can become like that. Oh, then you become gullible every day, listen. It's not like that. No, same. Chautu or repentant or whatever is the same. Because when they have this, what they call understanding, then they want to help the living being. So they come up with this. So that sincerity and that understanding when they chant, because they are very sincere, it will have its effect where nature's law will be able to make it become a supportive reality. But if you do without understanding, you say, oh, this is the chanting that can help Chautu. You go and chant. Different effect on. You don't have the understanding, you don't have the sincerity, and you don't have the ability to do it. So all this repentance or whatever, you need people who has the wisdom and the understanding. Even our Sakyamuni teaching is the same. Like our pre-puja and post-puja, they got different purpose. Pre-puja is to develop spiritual faculty. Post puja is to develop aspiration, sharing of merit, transfer of merit, and it can be very powerful. So if you have already developed the merits, the understanding, then the clarity of mind, then if you read it and you chant, it can be very powerful. Understand? You will understand deeper when your cultivation progress. Hey, Sadhu, come. Ah, Sadhu. We are still early, another 10 minutes. Ah, yeah. I only saw one email, not two email. I only saw one email, Achalo and the chanting one. Yes, check it. Chungyao, check on me. Same email, is it? I saw only one with Achalo's email down there. Chanting one with the chanting. Oh, I didn't receive. It's in the same email. How you all have to learn the chanting, then after they put the amulet in there. Oh, then I didn't receive the second one. Okay, you send it to me again. I didn't receive that one. Through your phone, you didn't bring your phone. you can send it over. So that tonight I can read. Okay, very good evening to all. We are still early. We haven't started. In the meantime, if you got any question, you can ask. Yeah, Lily, come join us. Same email, I think. Okay. Hi. Okay. You forward. Okay. Maitreya. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay. Those who know how to read Mandarin, you try to read the whiteboard, the poem, You want to write or not? Write another set there. Now we can write two. But this one too far to this side. There should be another set there. Alan, your Mandarin writing nice or not? Okay. I cannot write. I explain. Okay. Maybe before they come, I got 10 minutes there. Just nice. I will give you all a briefing first, so that after that, like revision, you all can receive better. This is a very good poem in Mandarin that we saw frame up in Ciji. Then I was told by Mimi when she was going through this video on Xu Yun Lao He Sang, the 120 years old Zen master, the patriarch who passed away, I think, in the middle 1940 something or 1950. He was born in 1940, so he lived until 1960, I think. 120 years. Xu Yun is the master of many Zen masters, including Master Xuan Hua, Po Yan Zhang Lao, of Wu Ping Jing Se. Then he is also the master of Yin Sun Fa Si. Yin Sun is the teacher of Chen Yan Fa Si, Ci Ji On. then many of these great Zen masters, they are connected back to him. So, according to Mimi, this poem was recited to Xu Yun when he was cultivating. He was in a cave. He did the austerity cultivation and he couldn't break free. Then there was an old man who knew that he was trapped. So he passed by and he asked him, "What are you doing?" Then Xu Yun said, "I'm meditating to develop liberation of mind, to develop insight, wisdom, to become enlightened." Then after that, "Is that the way to do it?" the old man asked him. He said, "What are you doing? You are torturing yourself. You are going through all those things." Then he recited this poem to him, it seems. Those who know Mandarin, you will like it. Those who may not understand, I will explain. We make use of the time. Okay, so this first line is, this is sing. Sing is your heart or your mind. Sing zhong you fo. What does it mean? Sing is heart, isn't it? Sing zhong is within your heart. You must have the Buddha, understand not? Sing zhong you fo. So you try to understand what is the meaning. Very good. Sadhu. You see, if as a cultivator your heart don't have the Buddha, means you don't have faith in him, understand not, and his teaching. So without faith you cannot start. That is the first meaning of sing zhong you fo, understand not? Then after you have faith in him, you have to understand the second thing. Practice. Sing is siu sing, cultivation. Sing zhong yu fa. All your cultivation, whatever you do, if there is no Dhamma inside there, that is not the teaching of the Buddha. That is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So you can never find the truth. That's why sing zhong yu fa. So when you have the Buddha in your heart and you have the Dhamma in your cultivation, what happened? You will cultivate correctly, right? Then after you cultivate correctly, what will happen to you? You will develop the enlightenment in there. Yeah? And you will transform. Yeah? So instead of your heart having the Buddha, understand now, you have the embodiment of the great wisdom and virtue of Lord Buddha. You will develop virtue and wisdom. Means love, compassion and wisdom. This is the second meaning of sing zhong yu fo, understand? Means the embodiment of the Buddha's perfection. That's why the Buddha said, "He who sees the Dhamma sees me." He never say, "He who sees the physical form see me," understand? Because he's the embodiment of the Dhamma, which gives rise to the perfection of wisdom that leads to love and compassion and all the perfection of the virtue. Then the third meaning is, after you have cultivated the virtue of Lord Buddha, you will realize the Buddha nature within. Understand not? That's why this verse, sing zhong yu fo, is very deep in its meaning. Understand not? Understand not? The three aspects of it. First is, as a convenient, skillful mean to recall to mind the great loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom of Lord Buddha so that you develop the faith. Understand not? So that is the first sing zhong you fo. So after you have understood that, he say fa zhong yu chan. This is the most important one. If all of the Dhamma that you cultivate, as you move along in your cultivation, you cannot realize the Zen or the meditation, understand? Chan is zazen, understand? Means this is the true meditation. This is the Zen mind, understand? Zen is another meaning for meditation in the Mahayana tradition. That's why they say, 坐禅, understand? 坐禅 means you sit, meditate. But 修禅 is to cultivate zazen, anasana. So drinking a cup of tea, going about doing anything, if you have the mindfulness and heedfulness, then that is zen, anasana. Anasana. Zen is to be with the moment, to experience the reality of life and existence. Means to understand clearly what is going on. That's why finally, life itself is the meditation. So, if your Dhamma doesn't lead you to the cultivation of Zen, that is also not the correct cultivation. Yeah. Then, after that, he gave you a very important understanding. He said, Sing Pu Li Tao. Pu Li Tao. This is your mind, anasana, that you use to cultivate the Dhamma. The mind must not be apart from the Tao, Pa Zhen Tao, the Noble Eightfold Path, anasana. And this Tao is called the path, anasana. When you cultivate, you must have the path. Means your mind, Sing Pu Li Tao. Then after that, if you can be like, Yu Na Ge Tao Sing, means continuously, heedfulness is called what? Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So, Sing Pu Li Tao is to be constantly meditative, anasana. Of course, you need to be ever mindful to do that. We got 2 more minutes, can finish. Then, Tao Pu Li Fa. So, whatever that Noble Eightfold Path you cultivate, it is never apart from the Dhamma too, anasana. So finally, it comes back to the Dhamma. And the most beautiful one is this final line. Fa pu li zi, zi chang shen huo. Zi chang means throughout the day when you live your life. The Dhamma, fa is Dhamma. Dhamma is not apart from your daily living, anasana. And this one summarizes all of meditation that you need to know. That's why meditation is not about sitting, anasana, not about retreat. It's about your life, anasana. It's about everything you do in life. Yeah. That is the true Dhamma. That's why I always say you have never begin the real meditation until you have trained your mind to be heedful, to develop the daily mindfulness. That's why the second phase of Dhamma, Patipatti, is to put the Dhamma into practice in daily life. Remember? Yeah. So, with this understanding, then you see the beauty of this poem. So, I just summarize again. Sing zhong yu fo, sing zhong yu fa, fa zhong yu chan, sing pu li tao, tao pu li fa, fa pu li zi chang shen huo. So, when you understand, you no need to remember one. It will be in your heart, and then you will know how to cultivate. So to check your cultivation is very simple. If you don't have the faith, if you don't have the Dhamma when you cultivate, means what I always tell you is what? You have to cultivate with understanding, isn't it? Correct? Understanding means what? You have to do the phase one, pariyatti, the learning of the doctrine, through listening, hearing, reading, and all these things. Then after you have developed it, you understand what the Dhamma is, then you go to phase two. You put it into practice in daily life, patipatti, asana. So when you put it into practice, this is what will happen. Fa zhong yu chan, zazen. Every moment is zen. Every moment is heedfulness, awareness. Then after that, your mind throughout the day, sing pu li tao, the pa zhen tao, means constantly meditative, constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why Sing Pu Li Tao. Then Tao Pu Li Fa. That Pa Zhen Tao is within the Dhamma. Understand? It's never apart from the Dhamma. That's why all the essential Dhamma, you have to connect them back. From the Pa Zhen Tao, or the Four Noble Truths, all of the essential Dhamma spring off from there. Okay? Can follow, Then, of course, the final one is Fa Pu Li Zi Chang Shen Huo, and this will tell you the domain of meditation. What meditation is about. It's never apart from your daily life, daily living. Okay. we can start our puja now. So we just compose our mind. Then you maintain the very strong sada virya. Then you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, either here or at the back there. Those who face this direction, you can pay respect here. We can pay respect here. Okay? Okay, we will do it now. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Amesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macchapamadatana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Those who are new, if you are new, you may have to go back and read that transcript, 12 September 2013. You don't have a copy, you can request. I think Suyan should have some here. You don't have, let me know. No more, should have. Because that one is one of the Thursday class recording where all the instruction for meditations are there. Then there are also some explanation. So in order to save time, we need you to cooperate and help us by going through these notes so that when you come, you know what to do. So anyway, today I think there are a few, one or two or three maybe new people. So you just maintain attention. Try not to think. Relax body and mind. To develop the meditation, your body and mind must be in a state of relax. So what we normally do is the first session after our puja, to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty of sada, virya, followed by sati. These spiritual faculties are useful. Without them, you cannot train your mind. You cannot develop the meditation. You cannot understand the teachings of Lord Buddha. So that's why the opening puja is to help you develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then you pay respect mindfully. Then you chant to develop affinity and to develop the faith again. Then also you pay respect. You recite with understanding and the faith. Take refuge, renew your precepts. Then you rejoice. All these are great meritorious action. Then it will help you to walk the path of Dhamma. Then later on when we finish, we got the closing puja, which also can help you a lot. Then in between, you train your mind, you develop the meditation. Then we have Q&A, Dhamma sharing. You listen to Dhamma, you straighten your views. Then you also maintain reverential salutation to the Buddha. Then you radiate metta, which is dana parami. Then you also develop the what they call determination to keep your precept, to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Do good. And through all this service that you can help and provide to the Buddhist community, the Kayanamitta group and other things, or in whatever way that you can be of service to help mankind and to help the sasana. So all these are meritorious action. It will help you to develop the merits that you need to help you walk the path of Dhamma. So this 2-hour session, it is of great benefits if you know how to develop it. If you have the faith, the sincerity and the diligence, it can bring forth a lot of wholesomeness, and it can actually allow you to have the causes and conditions to develop the understanding of this teaching very fast. And once you are along the path, once you move into the cultivation with understanding, this understanding can bring about wisdom that will be able to liberate your mind to finally brings about enlightenment, so that suffering can come to an end. You can live the good and noble life, which is full of meaning, full of peace, full of happiness and joy, without having to become unhappy or miserable again. There is no more suffering. There's nothing in this world can make you unhappy or miserable. So that is the aim of this meditation. So okay, for those who know how to meditate, I will off the light now. And you can straight away start your meditation. Thank you, Sen. For those who are new and still need instruction, I will give you a very brief one. We are here to train our mind so that this mind is calm, relaxed and aware within. So what you need to do is make sure you have a stable posture. You can sit, you sit on a cushion. You cannot, you can sit on a chair or on the staircase steps. Then you need to relax body and mind. Body and mind must be completely relaxed, means without any tension, any tightness, stress within, or any worry of any kind. You just talk to your mind. I'm here to train my mind to develop the meditation. So please do not distract me into any thinking process. Whatever fear, worry, anxiety or unfinished business that you need to do, you tell the mind, not now, later, after the meditation. By doing this, you allow space for you to meditate. Then you just silence your mind, completely silent. Then you check your posture. Make sure backbone is straight. Close your eye. Then maintain attention or awareness or mindfulness on your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any stress within, any tightness. You just relax them. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you move on to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just soothingly relax every strand of your facial and eye muscle. After that, you can sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Silence your mind. Just feel aware. Then relax every part of it. Make sure all of your facial muscles are soothingly relaxed. Then you can use a skillful means to help you relax more. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are very relaxed. There is joy. That's why that joy will make you relax, and your facial muscle will relax naturally. So if you can develop this training, your mind will be more calm. That's why you will lead to inner peace. Then you need to radiate loving kindness to bring about inner well-being to yourself. Then later you can radiate out to others. Excuse me. You can recite as follow. You can recite, follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind, your entire being. You can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the body well and happy. Feel the mind well and happy. Then may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all danger and harm. Then may its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends, together with all your loved ones, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate to all beings throughout the entire of Subang Jaya, Taling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then our Mother Earth, the whole planet, then the solar system, our galaxy, and the whole universe. So may all beings throughout the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harms and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just relax every part. Feel. Then you sweep it down to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Feel and relax every part of it, the neck, the shoulder, and the hand. Then you move your attention to your heart, your chest area. This is a very important location within your being. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness. This is where your life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind and just feel. If you can detect your heartbeat or any vibration, you just silence and stay with it. Allow the awareness to be in harmony with the vibration of heartbeat. Just silence and stay. If you are new, if you don't have the ability because your mindfulness is not developed as yet, then it's okay. You just feel your heart like you feel your forehead. Then you relax every part. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move it down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the entire mind sweeping method from your leg back to buttock, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same. The chest, do the same. Stay there, silent. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, relax every part. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. This is the first training. You train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it's there. You want it to be at the heart, it's there. Then because you feel, you don't think, it will help you decondition the heedless thinking. So this mind sweeping method is very useful. Then you would have developed some form of calmness, a more peaceful mind with inner well-being and inner peace. So these are the byproducts of training your mind. You will naturally develop inner well-being and inner peace very easily. Then now you have to stabilize this mind, this peaceful, quiet and tranquil still mind or silent mind. If your mindfulness is still not stable, then you need to train it to stabilize it. You can use any skillful means that you are familiar with. Some call it technique, method or object of meditation. So what we use here is Anapanasati, which the Buddha himself actually used. And it is a very neutral meditation object, as explained by the Buddha, suitable for most personality. That's why we use Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. To do this is very simple. It will help train your mind to anchor it to the breathing. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence your mind and feel. The moment you detect your breathing, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Without thought. Means the awareness of this in and out breath, the moment your mind detect it, allow the mind and the breathing to move as one in harmony without thought. That is sati. So initially, if you are new, you are not used to it, you need to train. So every time you develop this attention in front of your nostril, when you try to breathe in and breathe out following the in and out breath without thought, chances are your mind will wander off very fast because you are heedless. You still haven't developed the ability to develop the spiritual faculty to overcome them. So this heedless mind, it will think, it will wander off. That's why the heedless think a lot. So the Buddha said, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless cannot meditate. So you need to train this mind to be mindful so as to be heedful. So Anapanasati is a very good training technique. So what you should do is, every time you want the soul, patiently bring it back to the breathing. Just train. After a little while, if you are patient enough, this mind will start to settle down and the anapanasati breathing will start to develop on its own. Then you will become very peaceful, very calm. Then through this initial application of thought, and you sustain your thought there. But in this case, instead of using thought, you develop awareness and mindfulness of it. You just maintain attention in front of the nostril, then develop the awareness of the in and out breath, so that there is no thought. So you just sustain the mindfulness there, the awareness. Then every time you wander off, bring it back. Every time you wander off, after a while, the mind and the breath will move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. That is when your anapanasati will start to develop. When this happens, your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, and you will develop the spiritual joy or spiritual calmness that they call piti. Piti will arise naturally. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, or spiritual calmness that will arise naturally because of the calm mind, because of this mind that has a ti without thought. Then as you continue to relax, allow the breathing to be, and naturally it will slowly become more and more subtle, more and more peaceful, and more refined, until this piti will also finally fade away and transform into sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. There is a tendency to attach, but if you are mindful and aware, you just experience it and allow it to be. Then continue to allow the anapanasati to develop until your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. Finally, all of your breathing too, from the gross breathing, it will become subtle breathing. Then it will also go into long breath first, before it transforms into subtle breathing. Finally, when your mind reaches the state of subtle breathing, you just silence your mind, don't do anything. Just maintain awareness, sati, to detect the very fine breathing. If you find it difficult, then you can move it to your heart area that time. With your refined mindfulness, born of training in anapanasati, you can detect your heartbeat very easily. Then you can stay there, silent everything. Just relax and stay there. Then after a while, this whatever mindfulness or awareness of the subtle breathing or this heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area, they will also become more and more refined, more and more quiet, more and more still. Then you will be very surprised. Even the subtle breathing earlier on, you can now detect it clearly, because your sati has transformed into a more refined state of sati. Means your mind is already in sati. That's why everything you do with this mind, which is in sati, there will be clarity. There will be mindfulness within. So later on you will come to know, when you stabilize this, then when you come out of meditation into your daily life, this state of mind will follow you. Then every moment of consciousness, the mind that experiences it will be in sati. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, the sati is there. Then this mind finally will have no dwelling, means the object of meditation that you used to anchor your mind earlier on, finally you can drop it. So this is the training that you need. So the silent mind that developed out of this training is what they call the meditative mind. That is the mind that can understand what is going on. That is the mind that can investigate in the Dhamma. That is the mind that can help you understand many things. Then you use it to meditate. So that is what you need to do to train your mind. Now I will leave it to you to develop the meditation on your own. I will only ring the bell in about 10 to 15 minutes. 15 minutes time. Then upon hearing the bell, you can either continue to meditate if you want, or silently and mindfully come out, slowly come out of the meditation. Then you try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Try to maintain that trained mind state for as long as you can. Then you have to use it to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness, cultivation or meditation. Okay, now I leave it to you to meditate. Remember, the key to meditation is relax, silence your mind. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. We are here to develop this training of the mind, to be mindful, to be aware. That is the first stage. Then to stabilize this mindfulness so that the meditative mind, which is the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, silent mind, can help you to develop the meditation in daily life. Once you develop this heedfulness, which is awareness, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha in daily life, then you become heedful. So heedfulness got two parts. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. So you can train your mind to be continuously mindful. You will have the ability to be ever mindful. Then constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path means constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this Noble Eightfold Path is also called the Tao, the Pattern Tao. It's like a path, a highway. So the saying on the whiteboard, like just now I went through, if you understand, it will help you to develop the cultivation more easily. because you can be very focused and you know what is needed. So for those who didn't hear the sharing earlier on, maybe I just briefly read to you. If you know Mandarin, you will be able to appreciate the Dhamma there. These are the Mahayana way of sharing. So they say for a cultivator, you must have this. The first line is on your right, because Mandarin is from right to left. So the Mandarin word is Sing Chong. Sing is mind. Sing Chong is the heart. Center of the heart, or the heart. Yu Po means your heart must have the Buddha. That is the first line. Okay. Then after that is Sing Chong Yu Fa. Sing is cultivation. Siu Sing, cultivation. Within cultivation, there must be the Dhamma. Then after that, Fa Chong Yu Chan. So within the Dhamma, there must be the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Chan or Zen. Then after that, he said, your mind, Sing Pu Li Fa. Pu Li Tao. Your mind must not be apart from the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That's why it becomes constantly meditative. Then Tao Pu Li Fa means the Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation you are cultivating is never apart from the Dhamma too. Then after that, the final line is Fa Pu Li Zi Chang Shen Hua. Shen Hua is your daily living. Zi Chang is throughout the day. So the Dhamma is not apart from your daily life. That's why you always heard me share. The daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Life itself is the meditation. Meditation is never apart from life. And Dhamma is the truth that can explain the way things are, can explain the reality which is life and existence itself. So this is the brief poem that can help you. The meaning just now I already explained. For those who wants to maybe develop understanding, you can listen to the recording. I can maybe re-explain the first and second line. Sing Chong Yu Po, the meaning is very deep. Those at the back can see or not? The whiteboard, is it clear? Can I? So the meaning is, within your heart, there must be the Buddha. Sing Chong Yu Po. So the first meaning is to develop the Saddha or the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why when you have the faith, you have the Buddha within your heart. Then after that, the next line says, Sing Chong Yu Fa. If you develop the cultivation, Siu Sing. Within the cultivation, if there is the Dhamma, you will definitely realize the enlightenment. You will be on the right path. So if you do it correctly, you will develop the enlightenment, which is the wisdom part. And with the wisdom come love and compassion, which are the great virtue of Lord Buddha. So Lord Buddha is represented by the embodiment of virtue and wisdom. So when you develop the cultivation until you awaken, you will have this wisdom and virtue within your heart, which means you have the Dhamma, which is the embodiment of the Buddha's quality. So Sing Chong Yu Fa at the second stage is, after you have developed the cultivation, you have the perfection and quality of Lord Buddha, which is wisdom and virtue. Then when you are able to develop that, you will connect to the Buddha nature within. So the Buddha nature is the third aspect or meaning of xing chung, you for xing, Buddha nature. So all these three are embodiment of Lord Buddha. So when you take refuge with the triple gem, it's the same. Without the Buddha, there is no Dhamma. Without the Buddha and the Dhamma, there is no Sangha. So the whole triple gem fall back to the Buddha. That's why your heart must have the Buddha, Sing Chong, you fall. Okay? So this is a very important one. Then after that, when you cultivate, you will come to realize Fa Chong Yu Chan, means within the Dhamma, there is the real meditation or Zen. Means you must know what Chan is. Whatever that you do with the silent mind, with the meditative mind, with the true mind, you are cultivating Zen. You are developing the true meditation. So that's why after that, Fa Chong Yu Chan, you move on to the mind. The mind must constantly with the path, with the cultivation. That's why it's constantly meditative, constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's written there, Sing Hu Li Tao. Tao is the Ba Zhen Tao, or the way, the cultivation. Then after you have developed that understanding, then you will also come to understand Tao Pu Li Fa, means the Noble Eightfold Path is also never apart from the Dhamma. Then the Dhamma is never apart from the daily life. Everything that arises and happens in life. So that's why life itself is the Dhamma. Life itself is the meditation. That is the meaning of the last line. Fa Pu Li Zi Chang Sen Huo. Okay, now we come to the second part. We open it up for Q&A and reporting of meditation. And if you got any question with regards to the poem or the meditation or anything that you want to understand with regards to the Dhamma, you can ask. Okay? Where is the mic? Oh. Anybody wants to report meditation tonight? Pak Masuri, pass the mic to her. Oh no, nothing. I thought she looked at me. You can just report whatever you have gone through over the last half an hour or 45 minutes of meditation. No need to be shy. Your question will bring forth condition for Dhamma to flow. And make full use of it. Otherwise, we waste each other's time. Anybody? Give to Joyce. Report your meditation, or you want to ask any question or share anything. Pass the mic to her. She got something to share.
I don't have much to share, but if Brother Teo wants me to share the email that I sent to you.
Can.
If everyone wants to.
Yeah. You can share that so that people can develop the condition to rejoice.
Give me a minute.
Yeah.
I wrote this email to Brother Teo because a Dharma friend actually wrote an email to me sometime last week. And it goes like that. Dear Brother Tu, a concerned Dharma friend wrote to me yesterday asking about my well-being and thought that I sounded a little disturbed and unhappy about something, which I was not. Maybe I was a little disheartened though. This prompts me to write some of my personal thoughts below. I didn't send this email out to him anyway. I was told that sometimes it is good to write and then read it again, and you may well find the answers staring right in your face. Could you share and enlighten me with your thoughts on this? Thank you very much. The email went as to, no worries, just a little tired and a little soul-searching of oneself. I'm good. Perhaps I feel a little disheartened when one do not seek inward within oneself with clarity, but rather be busy with all other external activities that cover all our senses with mirage, self-indulgence, and ignorance. But it's all right. And knowing it's the wrong way home, one begins a long journey of backtracking, reflections, and contemplation, and investigate where the mistakes were, and hopefully with the right understanding, practice cultivation with wholesomeness, get our view right, and this meaning, be aware it is only one's view according to oneself, ideally. And understanding that things and people are just the way it is, including oneself. And no one can walk the path for you to seek the truth except oneself. Everything, every second is impermanent. That is the truth. But can one see this with absolute clarity? Yes and no. Depending on how one perceives each individual phenomenon that present itself. I realize that when one react or not react, it is mostly acted out of according to one's mind state that they are in at that precise moment. Therefore, it helped to pause for a few minute seconds to reflect and to act accordingly when the right condition presents itself, and hopefully each time with wholesomeness. It helped to realize when to really keep quiet, though. Perhaps one would think, including myself right now, goodness, can it be true? Can this be real? Sorry. Are you for real? Upon reflection, is it important if it is real or not? I think not. For all duality of things can only hinder one's view and opinion and gives a sense of false perception of the reality. Well, personally, having attended both the retreats with Ajahn Chalo in Penang recently and Brother Teo's retreat in Cameron, this has really helped me to see and realize how ignorant and foolish one can be if we are not careful with our own sankhara when presented itself in full view, and if reacted with the idea or concept of being right, of which it is mostly with a sense of egoic self-righteousness. This sometimes can be very subtle when one is not mindful of the fact that view and opinions are only of your own. Sometimes I catch myself when I judge others and realize that when I am judging may well be related to one's own self-acceptance. I don't fear making mistakes or wrong decisions, for it may well be a spiritual lesson to deepen one's understanding of oneself. Fear is like a ball of energized fire filled with enormous emotional turmoil that could well give you a sense of death in every sense. It can consume you totally, paralyze you instantly, absolutely terrorize you for a second or longer, depending on your state of mind and what arises the fear in the first place. This is suffering. I was in this state of mind when I lost something very personal, some sentimental and high value. For a good 5 seconds, I was in a state of panic. But when I paused to breathe, I realized two things. One, The fact it is lost due to own carelessness, so don't dwell on it. And secondly, is to do what you need to do, be it for a peace of mind or whatever. Once this is set, your mind and body comes together. You could see and feel all of it, the height and the intensity of the fear, how it peaks, giving you weak knees. But when you truly realize what is happening and you stop dead in its track, pause, and do not put too much attachment and importance to the thing or issue. After a few seconds, you get a total sense of total calmness running through your mind and body. With this kind of mind state, it is easier to find a solution to it, or just face the music and get on with it. Buddhadasa said in one of his books, one can be any state, any realm of existence, any rhyme of existence, within a day or minutes. How true! To know and aware of the above is just a starting point. To practice, meditate diligently and cultivate the spiritual faculties with constant mindfulness, reflection, contemplation, and investigate at all time is the real journey. One will need a whole mountain of determination and heedfulness to train and purify the mind and make aspiration that we shall not take too long to reach the shores of liberation and be wary of unnecessary detours. It is wonderful to have sincere Dharma friends. Thank you for your concern. I'm well and with the awareness of my own weakness. I hope to strengthen them with the spiritual faculties and put forth my strength to support and hopefully benefit other Dharma friends when necessary. May you be well and happy.
Okay, thank you so much. Sadhu to her. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I actually replied to her, but my reply very short. I said, hey, Joyce, sadhu to you for your rather much better understanding of the cultivation that you have recently developed. Keep it up. Yeah. The reason why I say this is because if you cultivate the Dhamma along the way, you can develop self-awareness of your own shortcoming and weakness. You can start to witness and see your own fear, how it conditions you, despite her developing some form of very good progress and cultivation. But when confronted with situation like she mentioned, she lost something of very high value and very sentimental value. No need to know what is it, but it's something really, really important and very, very meaningful or sentimental in value. So what happened? The first thought that struck you is what? What she wrote there? Grip her with what? Oh, very severe fear. Until for a few seconds, the knee also like weakened. like cold fear went through that. Then what happened was she remembered the Dhamma. She remembered no need to panic. No need to allow all this fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness of mind grabs you. Understand? So she just recalled the reality is it happened already due to her own carelessness. Understand? So what do you want to do? You have to accept this reality, maintain a calm state of mind, then do what you have to do. This is the most important statement. The reality is, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety is going to help you, it's going to make you miserable. Understand? No. This is what suffering is all about, Because you go and allow your thought to project, you allow your thought to have such power over you. It's only through what? Attachment. Because whatever in life you give great meaning, like he said, of great sentimental value, of great value. So combine these two, you know how attached your mind can be. Not to say that
she has attachment to this thing. She knows it's only money, understand? But because it's sentimental, means the other half give it to you, understand? So that thought will project, no? How can I lose this? It's just like you lost your wedding ring, no? Yeah. You go back, your spouse asks you, where is the ring? you try to tell the truth. I was in the toilet, washing hand, took it out, forgot to wear it back. I lost it. Means, if the thought go and interpret, you didn't even value our relationship. Such important thing like wedding ring also you can misplace and get lost. So the thought can have that. Then if they erupt and react, what happened? So before you confront with the thought, say, Lord, what to do? This time you're going to get it, man. And someone not only a ring, no, it could be so much more important and valuable. No? So many things in life, you give importance and value, you indirectly plant the seed of attachment, clinging, grasping. That's why it can trigger off hormone. Understand? Well, our physical body has hormone. That fear trigger off to hormones. If hormone is not released, fear does not come in. Understand? It's only a thought. How come he has such great power? That's why immediately she understands the Dhamma came back. The mind state calmed down very fast. Then she realized, this is where suffering is. This is what form and mind is capable of when we are not stable in our understanding. Not to talk about heedfulness at that moment. It's like everything fly out of the window. But because she cultivated before, the understanding came back very fast. Even though not at the moment of sense experience. But this is the first stage. The first stage where you cultivate. Later on, after you reflect, contemplate like what she went through, which is very good, she come to realize her own shortcoming. At first she thought she lost. She thought due to her own carelessness and heedlessness. That's why she came and discussed with me, even after she wrote the letter, after I replied. Then later she was full of joy after she had developed the sharing with me, because she came to understand this is part of the cultivation. Then she decided to confront it and do what she has to do. Worst case scenario, speak the truth, understand? But present it in a very nice way so that the other half will not misunderstand, understand? If you speak the truth, you got nothing to fear because you are being sincere, understand? Then finally she realized, this is the reality, understand? Happened already, what can I do? So she was very sure she lost it because she recalled the incident. She went to a public place to wash. Then she thought she must have left it there. But actually she forgot. A few days later, that thing was with her husband. not lost. So it actually showed her a lot of things. And I thought, when you preconceive and perceive something through memory, which may not be that accurate, it can trigger off fear, it can trigger off many things in life. So when you understand the form and mind, when wisdom stabilizes, the next time when things happen, at the moment of sense experience, the very moment that thing happens, that thought comes, when your view is straightened, when your Dhamma is very stable, when your understanding is, nothing will happen on. The mind just understand. Yeah. Then you just do what you have to do. Yeah. Like I told my wife. Because last time I used to keep two wallets. One is just to put some cash money inside there, not important one. The other one is where my eyes see everything is there. And that one, I very careful and very mindful because it is something that you need to go through a lot of trouble to replace it, understand, not to get them back, like driving license, IC, credit card, all this thing. So I came to realize during the early days, because I'm very scared I lose my personal. So there were many incidents in the dream. I always dream I lost my purse, or the purse was stolen. Then later on, this one doesn't happen really. Then what happened was, when I started to use the second purse, somebody gave me a very nice purse, small one, easy for me to use. This purse I can just take out and pay whatever bill or small money. You just keep some money, then a little bit of this not important card, like the shopping mall card. You got all this one card, one card. So all the not important, I put it there. Because I didn't give importance to that purse. Actually, the sign came two times. When I bought this phone, be careful, if it's really this phone, very big, I put it in my pocket because I can't go in. Every time I take out, whatever that is next to it will follow it come out, understand? So that small purse came off twice actually. And twice or so I knew about it. Then I tell myself, never mind, meant to be will be. So I supposed to take it out and don't want to use one, but I just let it be. Then one day, I think recently, a few weeks back, I went and have dinner with my wife. Then I remember taking out this purse and pay for the drinks and the food. Then I put it back. But because I have to keep this phone in my pocket, so as I walk to the car, I had to take it out because when I drive, I don't want the phone to disturb my leg. That time when I took it out, it just dropped out. And this time, I was not aware of it because I didn't sense anything. After the meal, I just go. Then the moment I reached home, I was relaxing with my wife and we were watching TV. Then I was sitting on the couch. Then the moment I sat on the couch, I felt something. Because I took my phone out and put it on the table. Then this pocket, normally got the purse, the weight different one. Correct? Although it's a very small purse. Then I touch her. I knew. Not there already. Then straight away I told my wife, my purse is lost at that restaurant. But it was already 1 hour later. So I do what I have to do. I tell my wife, don't worry. Then my wife said, maybe you misplaced somewhere, I'll go and search. Never mind. I'm very sure because I was aware when I took out and paid the money. Then when I came home, this phone was in the car. And I took this phone and put on the table. I didn't touch my pocket. And when I'm home, it's no more there. So I'm very sure that that purse is gone. So after 1 hour, we went back to a restaurant. Not close yet, 9 o'clock. Then the lady, they were very kind. He said, very sorry. He said, we are so busy, as you know. Then when I approached, I saw the table which I sat. The lighting was so bright. I said, sure gone already, this person. And really, I go and ask. They say they didn't see. Nobody replied. So I wrote down my phone number. I said, just in case they call, let me know. Because they asked me what was inside. I say a few hundred dollars. But I say the money is okay, they can take. But some of those cards, if I don't have to replace them, will be easy. These are not important cards. These are bank cards that show my private banking status or priority banking status. So this is what you will go through. There is nothing in the heart there. Even if it's something important, priceless, you only need to be heedful to prevent the condition for it to arise. But you don't have to worry. If it happened already. That is the truth. That is the reality. Do what you have to do. So it's very important for you to make sure whatever is in your purse, all the credit card, you take it out and you photostat. So that what is inside there, if it's lost, you will know. Then you can get it replaced. You can even stop it. So these are some of the Dhamma that you can learn. Then at the same time, it helps you to understand life so that you can overcome them. So what you're sharing with you all is something that is very important, understand? So that as you go through life, you know, off and on you get phone call, sometimes very shocking news, understand? And sometimes it can paralyze you. So learn to reflect, contemplate, and understand the Dhamma. That's why the Buddha said there is this daily contemplation. 5 daily contemplation. Remember? What are the first 3? Concerning this physical body, is there? Yes. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, to get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So, if you hear any phone call or any whatever news with regards to loved one or yourself, you will know this is the reality of this form. It will go the way of nature. This thing will happen. So don't panic. Don't get like unnecessary, miserable, fearful, unhappy over it as well. Or sometimes you just couldn't help yourself. You just break down by anything. Just like MH flight 17 and 370, their loved ones, all those things, very traumatic. But then the reality is the reality, understand? You got 2 choices: get angry and refuse to accept the reality and cry over it and become miserable. The other choice is simple: accept the reality and do what you have to do, understand? You need to help other family members to calm down, you need to. Then you need to do whatever necessary. You go and just handle it. Do it with understanding. Resolve it amicably. Then move on with your life. No need to have fear, worry, anxiety. No need to panic. What else can be worse than death? And death is no reality. If you understand what the form and mind is, you understand the universal characteristics of anatta, non-self or empty nature. So all these are the Dhamma that can help you. Then the 4th contemplation is what? What is the 4th one? Daily contemplation that you need to reflect. What is it? Whatever that you hold on to dearly, your loved one, your prized possession, your wealth, your money, your reputation, your business, or whatever, understand? Which apply to what happened to Joyce, understand? It may also apply to all of us, sooner or later, or maybe some of you have already experienced it. So when that thing happened, if you don't have the wisdom born of this Dhamma contemplation or second turning inquiry and reflection, or the third turning wisdom, then you will be afflicted, understand? Because the first noble truth of dukkha is like that. If you don't develop the wisdom to understand this reality, when you confront them without wisdom and understanding, suffering will be the result. That is what the first noble truth is all about. So the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate whatever that you think you own, your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your money, and all those things. They will either one day separate from you, or you will separate from them before they separate from you. Understand? When conditions cease to be, it's no longer yours. And in the first place, it was never yours. Understand? Yours is a myth, actually, the Buddha said. Nothing belongs to you. Even this form and mind don't belong to you. Wherein loved one, wherein wealth, wherein possession. He said, this only the fools lament. Foolish people who don't have the wisdom and the understanding, they will go and lament. Become miserable. afflicted. So sorrow, lamentation, grief, all come to be through attachment, through delusion, sakayadhiti. So these are the important dhamma that you have to reflect on them, so that when you confront them, you have your right view and right understanding, then you're no longer deluded. Then you can confront it with full understanding. Nothing will happen to you. In fact, you will be able to smile too. And there's a lot of joy when you understand that you are free. You are not like before, vulnerable, fragile. Then you realize nothing in this world can make you unhappy or miserable or fearful. And that is the Dhamma. That is the wisdom that you can develop through cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching of Lord Buddha. Then the last one is what? You have to reflect and contemplate on. Law of karma. What did the Buddha say? He said you must always reflect every day. We are all beings, he said. Not only human beings, all beings. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what you are. We are because of karma. I don't think many of you reflect. Otherwise, I don't have to repeat all this. This one will wake you up on the ground. When you have this right view with regards to the law of karma, if you have reflected and contemplated on it and inquire, what will you do? All of your life, no, entire life, no, center on what? Why? All of your life. Centers on? This karma, understand? No? Because you are, the Buddha said, born of your karma, understand? No? You come into this world because of your karma. Then everything that you have in your karmic nature, you inherit them, understand? No? Then you are what you are because of your karma. Every moment, every instant, every life, you cannot blame anybody. Then this karma condition you and support you every moment and every instant of your life. Means all of life, that's why I use the word 99.999% is karmically driven. Karma has a great role in deciding what type of life you will have. So if you know all of your life centers on karma, what must you do? Take care of karma. So this is the Dhamma. This is what you have to reflect. Take care of karma. How do you do it? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Your karma is you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. Then in Mandarin, Mahayana, they say, 种果得果，种因结果，种善因结善果，种恶因结恶果。 If you cultivate the karmic seed of evil, you will reap the karmic fruit of evil. Understand? If you cultivate the karmic seed of wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness, goodness, and virtue. That's why you reap what you sow. So when you understand that, you will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Follow the advice of Lord Buddha. So this advice is under Dhammapada 183, Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. You want to ask a question? Oh no. So this one is most important. If you avoid all evil, do good, you already take care of your karma, understand? But the last advice is to free you from suffering, understand? Because sometimes you may have good karma, understand? good karma doesn't guarantee happiness. So good karma guarantees blessings and merits, understand? Maybe good life. But when you confront always sickness and death, there's nothing much you can do, understand? Without wisdom, you suffer. You can have a lot of merits, a lot of wealth, very powerful, even as a doctor. But you still need to confront always sickness and death. And without wisdom, you suffer. You become miserable, tormented. Then when you confront the reality of separation from loved one and prized possession, you also become miserable, afflicted. Because without wisdom, you don't purify your mind to cultivate the Dhamma, to develop the understanding before you confront them. Suffering will be the result. Then how do you avoid all evil? What did the Buddha teach? Yeah? This one. How do you avoid all evil? Avoid all evil. So the Buddha's advice is, that's why now you know why the Buddha say you must renew your five precepts, keep precepts. How do you keep your precept? What must you do? You cannot just chant like that and say, Panatipata viramani sikapadam samadhyami. I keep my precept already. I renew already. But you don't uphold that precept. So how do you keep that precept? Keeping precept is not only through chanting. Through chanting is to commit yourself, renew your faith, and determine not to do it. That's why you undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow people. How do you do it? Be heedful. Very good, Lily. Sadhu. So you must train your mind, understand? Train mind to be ever mindful and heedful. Ever mindful. So that you can be heedful. This is to allow you to see your mental intention, understand? Without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot see your mental intention. And when you cannot see your mental intention, you cannot see the evil roots, understand? Then you cannot abandon them. The right effort to abandon, prevent it from arising, all cannot come out. So what you need to do is, you need to train, the mind, train the mind to be ever mindful and heedful, to see mental intention, mental intention. Then what else must you do? You must also understand what are the three evil roots. The three evil roots. If you don't even know what are they, greed, hatred, and delusion, you got mindfulness also no use. Well, you don't know that is greed. And greed, the meaning is very wide. Understand? Not only a greedy person with greed is greed. Understand? When you try to cheat, that is also greed. Try to deceive. Then when there is craving, desire, lustfulness, these are all part of greed, understand? Then when you are selfish, it's also greed, understand? Understand? Selfishness is many, many forms, understand? Selfish person can act in very funny way. To deceive is a selfish person, understand? A selfish person think of themselves, they never think of others, understand? Whereas greedy person, you know, very greedy, he want to take advantage of you, understand? But selfishness is another aspect of greed that is deep and hidden. And I can tell you before you have wisdom, everything you do, if it's not to benefit you or your loved one or your own race, school or your country, you never do one. Understand? For me or not for me. Good for my family or not. Good for my career advancement or not. Otherwise, I don't want to do. That's why the Buddha said we are all ignorant. all your thoughts are selfish. Asana. And this is the extent of greed you must penetrate. You know. Then you see, every thought that you arise has this selfishness behind, has this ignorance behind, has this craving, desire, motive behind. Asana. That's why selfishness can be very, very destructive. That's why it's a very evil root. It will make you very, very evil. When you are selfish, you can neglect your duty. Understand? You can neglect your family, your children, your wife, your parents, even your friend. You can become so unscrupulous. Understand? That's why this evil root of greed is very, very wide scope. Not until you understand what is greed. Very difficult to cultivate the precept. That shows how penetrative the Dhamma is. Before you develop that kind of understanding and wisdom, you think, oh, precept very easy, I don't kill. As long as I don't kill or cause fellow harm to living being. But then, you don't understand, no. It's not just that killing, no. It's before that, no. The question I always ask is what? Who violates that precept? Of course, it's thought, but what type of thought? That's why noble able power got right thought and wrong thought. But who are the ones that violate all the precept? Take, for example, first precept. Who killed and who harmed? What type of person? Angry, violent person. So the evil root of anger. Understand not? Selfish person also will kill and harm in that because of competition sometimes, jealousy, motive, all things. Deluded one. Understand not? When you are deluded, you become selfish. You become emotional. Understand not? Then you think, this is you. Understand? Atta. That's why you separate. Me, not me. Understand not? That's why the evil root comes to be. Yeah. And you check all the precepts. Without the three evil root, you won't violate one. So you have to go back to the mental intention behind precept. And to see the mental intention, you must understand what these three evil roots are. What are these three evil roots? If you don't understand, this one is a very big field now. You have to reflect, contemplate, inquire deep into it, and ask yourself, why did the Buddha say greed, hatred, and delusion are the three evil roots, the three poisons? Evil root means they are the roots of all evil. When you have selfishness, greed, craving, desire, lust in your heart, you become evil. You are very evil. Yeah. Then when you have anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, you become very evil because it's evil. That's why don't keep your anger. Don't keep your vengeance, your jealousy, your envy inside your heart. Even your like and your dislike is part of greed and hatred. And it's also the five hindrances. So all this aversion, all those things, is part of the evil root of anger and hatred. And delusion is ignorance. Delusion arises fear, insecurity, sorrow and lamentation, attachment, craving, clinging. So the three evil roots are very powerful. So in order to keep precept, you must know one of the three evil roots. Then you must train your mind to be ever mindful. Then you can deal with it. Understand? Then after that, apply the right effort. Understand? Apply the four right effort. Four right effort. Effort. Yeah. This one is at the thought level. Then later on at the wisdom level, you must use the five ways as taught by Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha. Coming to this, I think you all should rejoice with one of the Dhamma friends. Huh? She took the trouble to listen to all many of my talks. Then she come out with a table, which sent to me for edit about 2 weeks ago. I just finished it. He teach you how to train your mind, and he put in table form the four right effort, the five ways, yeah, and even the three phases of Dhamma in summarized form. So now we are in the second stage of spelling and grammar check. After we have done it, I think I hope by next Thursday we can distribute it. Yeah? It will help you. Maybe I will read to you all the first part, eh? So that you can have an idea of what this is. That is the beauty of handphone, eh? That's why I don't blame technology. Technology can go either way. It's the user. Don't say because internet, you have so much pornography and all those things. So you blame internet for pornography. But who go and see pornography? Last two people. I understand now. With all those evil roots. That's why it's the person himself. Understand? It's nothing to do with technology. So technology, like we share here, is very beautiful. Right? I read to you this part. Okay, dear, myself tell you the name so that we can rejoice. Actually, it was Sister Ellen. We sadhu her. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I will read to you. Training the mind. We are understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Notes compiled mainly from various talks given by Brother Teo at include the Klang Tiratana Buddhist Society. On the 26th of June, then the Thursday class, especially the one held in Brother Suyana Mifong's house on 10 July, and the Cameron Highland recent retreat, March retreat at Sampo Temple. So I wrote here, after I edit, this is very beautiful. A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. Can follow that? Yeah? Okay. It has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So it is so important to train your mind there. Correct? Huh? The third one is what? This mind that is trained, it will listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. You want it to be peaceful and aware, it will just be so. Good, good servant for you to use. Then you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to the enlightenment and heedfulness. It will also like become a servant to you. It will serve you well. A trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. That's why you need this meditative mind. You need to train this mind. It is very important. Then an untrained mind. What is an untrained mind? An untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. True or not? Yeah? And reacts easily to sense experience. And is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So the untrained mind is heedless. You are as if dead spiritually. No more spiritual life. Then the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. And it will make you very evil and miserable. You know what is a devil, isn't it? A very evil being is a devil. Correct or not? If your mind become a devil's workshop, what happens? Yeah? Devil inside there running your life, you sure become miserable. That's why it is important to train your mind not to be heedless. The untrained mind is very, very weak. You have no control over it, and it actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you misery and suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained, but not the true mind. Deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence all the suffering. He has got no understanding of what is going on in life. He lacks wisdom. And because of that, you suffer. Yeah. All this is because you are deluded. And then number three is training of the mind. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life. So as to understand who are you, what are you, and how our mind functions. So that we understand what causes us suffering, and how our deluded mind might get muddled up in life. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. These mental hindrances will hinder one from entering the meditative peace of inner peace, meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one only needs to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya as taught by Lord Buddha. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone, and the mind will be trained automatically. That is why you should work on the spiritual faculty via your puja or devotional practice and daily religious routine. Then we talk about the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. Then after that, he got the table. This table is very good. Spiritual faculty on one side, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths on one side, then the three phases of Dhamma. Then after that, he teach you the five ways to overcome what they call the unwholesome thought. Then he explained also why is sati extremely important. There are nine reasons. Then important advice to meditator. Then you also have this. The pitfall of thought-based meditation. Then using the silent mind, the meditative mind, to cultivate samasati. Then he also incorporate the seven universal mental cetasikas. Sabba Chitta Sadharma. These are the seven universal mental states or cetasikas that are common to all consciousness. You read the Paticca Samuppada transcript, the talk that I gave in the year 2005. It's all stated there. Then finally, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought and all those things. Then you also have the four foundation of mindfulness, the Dhammanupassana side. So this whole thing will come out in, if I'm not wrong, it's three pages, as notes and table, and it will be very useful. Hopefully, next Thursday you can receive them. Then you read through, develop the inquiry, contemplate, understand it, and put it into practice. Then only it serves you well. It will last you very long. Don't just collect, file. Then you actually wasted the effort of Kayanamitta who donate for the printing and all those people who have to do all this. At least be grateful, Anasana, and make full use of it so that it has its, what they call, purpose, and it serves you well. And when you change, you benefit, you transform, you are a blessing to others. It can also help others, Anasana. So whatever goodness and wholesomeness or Dhamma that you receive, you should have gratitude, kanana, then determine to repay people's gratitude. So you make use of it, then you rejoice, then you give back your good blessing to them. You should thank them, then you wish them by the power of this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for them to progress along the path of Dhamma, or realize their good and noble wishes. And these are the things that you can do. And this is already very wholesome. Then you read. You reflect, contemplate, develop the understanding, then put it into practice. Then when you awaken, you will rejoice. Then you will know how you benefit, and you will go this way and help people to benefit too. And this is the way Kayanamitas are meant to be. So we are all Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma, and of course some will have the Dhamma, so that we can motivate, counsel, support, and help each other to walk the path of Dhamma. We will share understanding. Yeah. Counsel and motivate each other to walk this path is very important. It will do away with selfishness, understand not? So it will make you motivated. And when you see people progress, please don't develop the jealousy and the envy. Should rejoice, sadhu, 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 then wish them well and say thank you so much, because of you it motivate me, I'm going to do it too. Because it shows one thing, it can be done. If he can do, why not me? Just like last time the video, remember? All the little one, duckling, climbing the step. At first all cannot make it, cannot make it. Then one make it, oh, all the rest motivated more. More, more. Then finally, suddenly, all, like very fast, all went out. Even the last one, strive so hard, finally make it. Understand? And the mother duck, very good. Choi Lei Tung Long. Never go and give a finger to leave. Understand? And the mother duck, no, they can one. Understand? So that is the very good one. That's why when I saw that one, I sent it out into the WhatsApp, I say, what is your understanding? So it attracted a lot of people's what they call views and idea and comment, which was very good sharing at that time. So Dhamma is like that. Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's why life is your greatest teacher. Life itself is the meditation, because within life there is the Dhamma, there is the truth, the reality of life and existence. So everything is Dhamma. So this one we haven't finished, a bit more. Because of this right view, the daily reflection, five daily reflection. You are born of your karma, head to your karma condition, and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you know that all of your life centers on karma. Okay? Okay? So when you know that, you will have to determine that you take care of karma, otherwise your life is miserable. You cannot blame anybody for your life, for what happened to you. Because every moment, every instant, not only you are born of your karma, you inherit everything. And this karmic force, they condition and support you every moment, every instant. And you are what you are every moment, every instant, every life, because of your karma. So 99.999% karmically driven. So you have to take care of karma. How do you take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. So here should have a question mark. How? How? You have to take care of karma, Then again, how? There is a Mr. How in our Tuesday class, I remember. Yes, this is a better pen. So, how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. So the first advice is, avoid all evil. How do you avoid all evil? Keep the precept. Then how to keep the precept? Train your mind to be ever mindful, understand not? So that you are heedful throughout the day, so that you can see your mental intention. Then you have to understand what are the three evil roots. Otherwise, you're mindful of what? If you don't even know that they are evil roots, you cannot cultivate precept, understand not? Then after that, apply the four right effort. What are the four right effort? This is thought based. The first two right effort is to take care of what? Thought based. The first right effort is to, right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought or wrong thought that has arisen, like anger, envy, jealousy, or cunningness, deceitfulness, or lust, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness. These are all unwholesome thought, wrong thought, that will condition your evil roots, that will condition your suffering, your misery. So these are the ones you have to abandon, thought based. Then after that, when you have the mindfulness and you have the understanding, then you can prevent them from arising. Because before they arise, you are already aware, understand that coming out already. Because the thought, through your right view, you will know these are evil roots. It has conditioned me into negativity before. It made me so evil that I violate my precept and I cause my karma to fall. Then, when the understanding comes, next time you are aware, just like what Joyce they all went through. Initially aware, you cannot do anything. But the next time aware, you can prevent it from arising. That fear, that paralysis of hormone release, all you can stop it. Now, when you can prevent it from arising, you got skill already. Means you are skillful. You got kung fu already. But may not be very, very powerful yet. Then after that, the two right effort is what? To cultivate the wholesome thought, the right thought that are still not in you, understand not? Then the last right effort is to perfect upon them, to refine upon them and improve upon them, so that this wholesome thought, action, and speech and livelihood become more and more refined and more perfected, so that you live the life of a noble one with right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, so that it become a part of you, all this wholesomeness, all this virtue. This is how you cultivate the second advice of the Buddha. Miss, this one will include not only avoid evil, do good. Actually, avoid evil and do good. Avoid all evil and do good. Avoid all evil and do good. Then after that, the five ways to develop wisdom. Especially the third and fourth way. Third and fourth way. Lead to wisdom. This one you will get it in the notes. It's all explained clearly in the notes that Alan prepared for me to edit. Because if you listen to my talk, you will know what these five ways are, especially those who come for meditation. First is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Okay? Second one is to reflect, contemplate on the consequence and danger of having this wrong thought, which is an evil root, which is the tree poison that will kill you spiritually or make you very evil. If you want your karma not to fall, you better abandon the wrong thought. Then the third one is just silence your mind, the meditative way. Then when you silence, you understand that all these wrong thoughts, they are conditioned arising mind state. They are not you. Anger is not you. Hatred is not you. Fear is not you. Jealousy is not you. Craving, desire is not you. They are conditioned mind state. Conditioned arising mind state. Born of delusion. Self-delusion. They come and they go. And because of wrong view and delusion and ignorance, they come to be. So that's why you have to straighten your view to see it clearly. So when you silence your mind and understand that your natural state of mind is already peaceful, calm, tranquil and still, then you don't have to do anything. Whatever anger, unwholesome thought arise, you just silence your mind. Relax and just aware. No need to fight it. No need to suppress, control and do all those funny meditation. You're just silent. You will return back to the original state of peace. Inner peace, inner awareness and inner calmness. Yes. No thought. No verbalization, nothing. Who meditate? When the thought is actively meditate, there is no silent mind. Don't try to meditate. Just silent. When you silent, that is the meditative mind. That is the one that can understand. That is meditation already. But don't try to be deluded. Don't allow yourself to be gullible and thought, meditate means somebody must meditate. I must meditate means I try to be silent. You are gone already. The trying is by the thought, and the thought cannot be silent. The thought creates an idea of silence, which is not the true silence. You just relax, and next time you have any emotion, anger, fear, or what, you just silent. Then you see what happens. When you don't feed it with any more thought energy, that condition arising mental state, the energy field will dissipate under sadhana. That's why Krishnamurti say the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. When it flower, you allow it to flower, the energy will dissipate. Then it go back to the original state of mind, which is before the stirring. Before you get angry, before you become emotional and fearful, you were peaceful there. Correct? That was your original state all the while there. Meditation is to understand that the mind is already peaceful. Don't have to do the funny thing. You become not peaceful because of your delusion. You stir, you react, you get angry and emotional. It's because of your delusion, your wrong thought. Without that, you become very peaceful. But because you so deluded, you so kipo, everything also you want to react, comment, complain, do something. You got right and wrong. You got your views, your opinion. And all this is going to condition you into negativity. That's a duality, everything come out. Then the fourth way is to develop the wisdom. You trace the origination factor. How did your mind stir? How did anger come to be? How did all this evil root comes to be? Through what? Then retrospectively, through your silent mind, when you are aware, just like in the Satipatthana, when you are silent and mindful, you will be able to be aware of how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Anasana. Then, when you continue to be silent and aware, you will come to know how the arisen hindrance is to be. And then, when you do it with enough understanding and stability and wisdom, then you will come to know how in the future it will not arise anymore. Anasana. Where you have rooted it out. It has got no more power over you. This is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. Satipatthana. Okay? So, after you have developed this, you will have completed what you need to develop and train. Your wisdom will arise. Then you will have yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. At that time, your mind will not waver anymore. Because avijja paccaya sankhara, yoniso manasikara is without avijja, without ignorance. That's why at the moment of sense experience, upon contact, feeling arise, but feeling will remain as pure feeling, non-grasping. It will not become craving. It will only become craving when there is no wisdom. That's why without yoniso manasikara or understanding or wisdom, you forget about trying to cut a feeling. People used to tell me during the early day, I go and attend those whatever retreat or classes or sharing, they will say, cut a feeling, because after feeling is craving. So you cut. You cannot cut on that. Without wisdom, straight away, feeling will be conditioned into craving, depending on origin, very fast. That's why you must have wisdom, understanding. Yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Okay? So we finish. So this one is last week one. Sati is, this one is a very important definition. Sati is awareness before the knowing. So that there is the direct seeing. Before the knowing means no thought, no perception, nothing. Just pure awareness. Okay? So at least this one is useful. Okay, 10:30. So we finish. You got any more questions, you better write it down. So that next Thursday you can ask. Otherwise, we waste a few minutes again. Try to pass the mic to someone. You see, today, just a simple question or sharing from the email. It brings about condition for so much Dhamma to arise. So it's not your question. It's just to have the condition to speak, to share. So whatever that you want to understand, be sincere. Just ask. Sometimes a very simple question can bring about great condition. Okay? Don't try to be paisey. I realize a lot of people, any question, they look down on the floor or they close their eyes. Not to say I say it's no good or good. Huh? There is nothing wrong with that because you are in that state. Understand? Or shy. And I always say in Hokkien, because you don't benefit. You know what is it? Who is paisey? You never ask. Huh? Who is paisey? Huh? Who? You are. Your thought is paisey, understand? Or? That wrong thought conditions you to be paisey. It's not you. Nothing to do with coming. You see, karmic is the past, understand? The past condition you. But this one is here and now you deluded, understand? Nothing to do with karma, understand? Even though the Buddha says, you are born of your karma, hate your karma, you are what you are because of karma. But at that moment, you have a choice, understand? You choose to be heedless and continue shy and don't understand that it's the thought that is shy and not you. Your true nature is so beautiful, understand? You have Buddha nature within. So when the Dhamma unfold, your nature shine forth, you became beautiful. Understand? That deluded, ignorant form and mind was never you. Understand? But this one can be transformed when you develop the meditative understanding and wisdom. When it's connected, then this form and mind understand. Then no longer deluded. And then it becomes beautiful. So, every moment, every instant, this form might depend on your understanding, anasana, to live life. If you don't have wisdom and understanding, you are heedless. You cannot live life. That's why you must make haste in training your mind, anasana, to develop this understanding via heedfulness, to develop the wisdom, so that you can free, liberate, and awaken. Then this form might become beautiful, meaningful. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Then there is a reason to come, anasana. Otherwise, come for what? To suffer, to become miserable, to be afflicted. You think this is life? Yeah? Like those Mahayana used to say, you come here to play the game of suffering. 你喜欢痛苦, 你整天在玩痛苦的游戏, anasana. You know why you play the game of suffering? Every day you get angry, become miserable, fearful, worry about this, worry about that. Worry about your health. Worry about your loved one. Worry about your career, your finance, your investment, your health. So much thing to worry. In life, you need not have any worry. There is no such thing as problem as far as I'm concerned. There is no such thing as problem. You agree or not? You sure don't agree. Or logically, how can there be no problem in this world? If there is no problem, the world is very peaceful. To the enlightened one, is very peaceful. Yeah. Because if you perceive a life situation with negativity, what happens? It becomes a problem. If you perceive with understanding and wholesomeness, and you can accept the reality for what it is never a problem. It is the truth, the reality. That moment, that instant, that situation is like that. We are condition are like that. And then, there is no such thing as problem. But because you have craving, you want things your way, that's why you say, I have a problem. Where you perceive it negativity, then you want to do something to solve it. But if you perceive it wholesomeness, means what? Even serious problem like health problem, your mind that perceive with understanding and wisdom, you know what it will say? Oh, it's a blessing in this guy, you know. If I don't get this problem, I won't go and search for Dhamma. I won't meet Brother Teo. I won't become what I am. So, where got problem? Problem become blessing in this guy. You know? But you perceive in negativity and fear. Say, Lord, how come of all people me? Why I so sway? Then all the fear come. How am I to confront the world? How am I to face this reality? Who is saying all this? The thought. We are delusion. We are wrong view.
That's why when you perceive every life situation with understanding, you are always at peace. You don't have to react and become miserable. You don't have to project your thought. You can just accept the reality for what it is. Then, with a clarity of mind, reflect, contemplate, and do what you must do. Understand? Resolve it amicably and move on. So that you don't go and trigger off all the fear, worry, anxiety, which is what your thought did to you. Understand? Then arise, right thought, through Noble Eightfold Path, to free yourself. Right view, right understanding, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then right effort. Yeah. This is what the Dhamma is all about. But you all listen, and most of you think you know, but you cannot apply. When you cannot apply, it's as good as you don't know. Understand? When you cannot live that reality, it's as good as you haven't cultivated. It amounts to that. To the awakened one, understand? You may know, but you never put it into practice and make it a living reality. It doesn't serve you at all, understand? You see the big difference in the thin line. A lot of people, I know. Yeah. I want to cultivate. I got no time. Yeah. Or I wait till I retire. Yeah. Or I wait till I'm more free. I go retreat. I do. All these are the thoughts keep on telling you. But you are not serious. If you are serious, like what happened to me 40 years ago, never turn back. Because I know this is important for me to develop the understanding of life. And with this understanding, this form of mind becomes so different, so beautiful. And I can live the noble life, the beautiful life. And what are you waiting for? Understand? Okay? So, with that, I end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anemoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampatihi tocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Thank you.